But people that operate in their own thinking and their own opinions are looking at things, and they'll allow fear to be generated, if by nothing else, just the devil talking in your ear. I remember one time going to Ukraine, and where we lived, there was a little pharmacy in town, and the guy that owned it, he was the pharmacist. He was a believer, and he says, how you doing? You going anywhere? And, oh, yeah, I'm going to Ukraine. He says, aren't you afraid? I said, no, why should I be? I mean, I was not. I just posted about, why should I be? Oh, yeah, I heard this and that and this and that. Well, I heard Jesus saying to go. That's what I heard. If you know he's with you, you don't have to be afraid. And, yeah, I always make reference to Brother Randy McMillan when assassins were being sent to kill the pastors, the politicians, and everyone down there. This is 96. And I said, well, are you going to leave too, Randy? He said, no. I feel safer in the will of God than in a safe place. And I think that was something Brother Arthur came and prophetically spoke into him. And that went into me. I'm safer in the will of God than in a safe place. Yeah, so don't let your mind begin to think of how you're going to somehow protect yourself from the things to come in this world. But rather, just you can be content and rest and fear no evil as we allow the Lord to be our shepherd. So regardless of what I'm walking through, he's going to take me through unto victory. That's the Lord our shepherd. Now, in saying all this, I'm wanting to make some reference. Last week, I was sharing with you about something God put in my heart 12 years ago, and I saw it come to pass 2 weeks ago. I mentioned about in times of prayer, compassion dropping in me, and I was like, and I'd be weeping, like, Lord, what is this? So I'm putting compassion in you for people with autistic children, families. It's like, oh, okay. And the years went by. I never forgot. I never let go of it. But I didn't try to pursue it and make anything happen. See, that's a mistake a lot of people make. God speaks something. They want to make it happen right away. And over the 4th of July, he brought it to pass, and we prayed for a little boy of the family, and he began to speak a couple of days later, where he hadn't spoken yet in his life. And it's like, praise God. And the point I was sharing last week, some things are for an appointed time. I'm combining that with something else here today. Some things are for an appointed time. And he said, wait for it. It'll surely come. Now, the vision that God spoke to Habakkuk, that I'm quoting from there, he spoke to him in a vision. Habakkuk was so upset at the sin he saw in the nation. And God said, you're not going to believe what I'm going to do. And Habakkuk, he was asking God to judge the people. He was so disturbed by their sin. God said, you won't believe. And then he tells them, I'm going to bring judgment through the Chaldeans. And he's saying to God, guys, you can't do that. They're more unrighteous than we are. Don't tell God what he can or can't do. He's God, not you. And if God says, and he can bring judgment on whoever in different ways, and here he is, he begins to speak to him about how he's going to do this. And he says, write the vision that they may run who read it, or to run with God. There was no getting away, running away, but to walk with him, to run with him, to move with him. And he goes on to say that the just shall live by faith. He said, wait for this. It's for an appointed time. It will happen. And I had shared with you at the end of the service, asked for those of you to stand. If God's spoken something that hadn't happened yet, that there needs to be a holding on to those things. This was like a 12-year. There's things he showed me decades ago I'm still waiting for. And that gives me a confidence because, like, well, Lord, you showed me those things. It wasn't my imagination. It wasn't me trying to conjure something up. But he showed me things he wants to do. And I share with you when I was at a point of death and just seeking the Lord, he was showing me. And what I need to know is, Lord, are things done? Is your plan done for me yet? And there was an emphatic no. It's like, okay, I'll continue to do what I need to do, trust you for what I need from you, believe God for a miracle, hearing, whatever it takes, because I'm living for your will to be done. Your will shall be done. So he brings this word out that the just shall live by their faith. And then he goes on talking about the sin and the judgment. And at chapter 3, he brings out there that his prayer is that in the midst of wrath, God would remember mercy, or in the judgment coming forth, that the mercy, compassion, love of God be revealed to a people who become broken by that judgment. It's not God's desire for judgment. It was their sin would bring that. But his prayer to hold fast was, God, I believe for the day that the times of judgment shall pass. And Lord, that your love, your mercy, your compassion pour out in that time to those who would have ears to hear, who would have a heart that would desire to know you, that your compassion pour out again. At the end of the chapter, he says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vine. In other words, while he's yet walking on the earth, there may not be fruit on that vine or figs on that fig tree. But I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And he'll make my feet like hinds feet, or like I'll be able to run like a deer. he speaks of God's strength there, that last verse, that he'll be my strength, that no matter what we go through, I will rejoice in the Lord. And if we do have faith, that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to pray and believe God for his mercies to be made new and be poured out to those whose hearts have been broken by the judgment. You see, sometimes it takes judgment to break people of their pride and their haughtiness and their own exalted thinking, to break them to where they cry out to God, and that he can then minister to them and be who he wants to be to them. But if we have self there, if there's pride there, people hold on and hold on. You see, many times the purpose of judgment like a tool is completely missed by people. God's not ticked off and angry at us. It's that if our sin's not judged, we won't be broken of our pride. And Isaiah 57 speaks of the pride being broken, and in that humble, contrite heart, he can lift us up. That's where revival comes in, at that place. Revival from the Lord. So, he will lead us and guide us. Now, one of the things, something I've been wondering all week, is a few different things here, and I'm not going to get it all out here today. But when it comes to judgment, there's some believers will say and think wrongly, well, that can't happen in the United States. We're the United States. We're the righteous nation. Just because we were doesn't mean we are. In fact, the word of God that was used to found this nation makes us more accountable. Like for Habakkuk, the Israelites had some word from the Lord. They were more accountable. So in his mind, how could this people who are less righteous, in his mind, more evil than us, be used to judge us? Because you're accountable for more, Israel. Habakkuk, you're accountable for more. And if we want to blow a horn about our founding, know this, that means we're, if it's true, and I believe it is, we're accountable for more, not less, more. So some of the things going on could be a measure of judgment already. You see, the hand of God lifting off is not necessarily instantaneous, nor is its restoration instantaneous. Sometimes it is. When it comes to something like healing, sometimes it's instantaneous and sometimes not. If we're judging by the outward, we will think, well, that should be instantaneous, and then begin to judge those who don't fall in our classification of thought. Rather than in a spirit of humility, we're looking for the Holy Spirit to help us judge ourselves, that His blessing is unhindered, flowing in our life and through our life, and everyone has anything to do with our life. Unhindered blessing. Selah, just side thought. I shared with you a few months ago, and this may be at least 3 months ago now, that there's dark storm clouds on the horizon. And since then, we've had the Jewish hatred stirring up and all those things, and there's been lots of other things. But that's not the storm. That's the beginnings of the storm. And I shared some things with you that it is very important for us to acknowledge that in the storm, there was no way out for those sailors. Thus they had fear in their heart to where they woke Jesus up. Lord, save us, we perish. And the storms will be such that man's own ability will not have a pathway of deliverance and freedom. Now, you can say this sounds negative or whatever else. I don't really care what anybody says. I know what God's been showing me for years now. And with this in particular, that there are major storms right on our horizon. I've been seeing this for years, and no doubt some of you have as well. And it's interesting, a week ago, our president-to-be was attempted to be assassinated. And it's interesting what's transpired since then. You know, he had the shock. You could see in his spirit he's changed. You can see it. I could see it. I'm sure you could see it. Something different. People around him would say something different. Now, I want to, before I go any further with this, say, we do not elect a priest. We elect a king. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is also the great high priest. And I shared with you about these times to come, Revelation 1:5 or 1:6, it says, we are called as kings and priests. With all that God was going to speak, that was going to take place, our place is a king and priest. And as a king, and I haven't really touched over in that much yet, you rule over a realm. We need to be ruling our flesh, our thoughts, our life. Rule over the work of any devils as they would endeavor to destroy you. Then as priests, we have a ministry before God, And I've gone through teaching on that, and I'm going to teach on that more because a greater understanding needs to be done. Some Christians want a priest to be elected, and if you think like that, you're in error. We are not voting for a priest, a holy man, to make offerings for us. He is a king. You see, up until the United States, people didn't even vote on kings. They were chosen and there were bloodlines. But one of the things with our nation was the beginning of voting for a king, but we only vote for the one set before us. And we don't really choose the one set before us. But that's another story for some other day, maybe. However, we are choosing someone to rule over us. Now, in that, we are not choosing someone, again, I must repeat myself, to be the holy man to do that work we should be doing that the Lord enabled us to flow into as priests in the kingdom of God, but rather to rule. And with him, and essentially, he's not ruled by money. What's a multi-billionaire need with a few thousand dollars from somebody trying to buy him off? They don't need that money. That's one thing. The other thing, he's so strong and courageous, he doesn't really care about what the world thinks or says. And that came out for all to see last week, to where many who disrespected him say, whoa, this guy's courageous. I respect that. There are unbelievers who respect that. They see that as a godly quality, which it is. And it warrants respect from a ruling perspective, the kingly perspective. Okay. Now, I want to address the error, and it saddens me because I see a lot of Christians are in a delusion about this, thinking, well, we're electing a high priest who'll be the holy man, and his kingship will bring peace on earth. Excuse me. No man is going to bring what only our Savior Jesus Christ can bring. No man is going to deliver us from evil. No man is going to lead us into the promised land. And there is a lot of people thinking like this. So as I'm watching the convention this week, it was interesting because you had a lot of people, they're all rah-rah, but they weren't naming the name of Jesus. They weren't referring to the work of the Lord. So finally, his time comes up at the very end. And he says this, I am only here by the grace of the Almighty God. He's not the man leading us to glory, the man leading us to some great worldwide blessing that everything's kumbaya and you no longer have to fear it, no evil, because everything's just fine. If the Lord's our shepherd, no matter what we're walking through, it doesn't make any difference. We have peace. We're not going to be wanting for anything. And if you have peace and joy and love, you've got the greatest thing. You've got all that you need. What you need's not in a peaceful place. It's not in joyful happenings. It's not in sexual love or relations or anything like that. But it's in Him. It's in Him. So, there's things to come, things to be shaken. I've shared with you what he's revealed to me about 6 years ago. The spirit of fear, unknown diseases, the thing with terrorism and economic. Now, we had an upsurge of terrorism. Don't underestimate. We were a millimeter away from unleashed in our country last week. a millimeter away. Because had that bullet hit him in the head, God only knows what would have blown apart at the seams. And people in the world saying, oh, those Christians, they always have to make it something about God. Yes, because we believe the word of God and you don't. Yeah, we're gonna declare Psalm 91. But they were like this mocking spirit. Then there were many who are looking to me, and I heard it coming out of so many's mouths. They think they're real smart and everything, and well, they wouldn't really acknowledge the Lord. It's like they're rejoicing the man's still alive, but not really acknowledging the Lord. How will those people come to believe? If everything just goes their way, we slip back into this awesome prosperity, thank God for what we've had, will any of them come to the Lord? Do you think so? After something like that. You know, it's reported that President Trump has given his life to the Lord. That's been borne witness to by many. Just like you, he starts out a baby Christian. You're not electing a high priest. It's a king. And there's a whole studies can be done with the nation of Israel about kings. And when they wanted a king or certain bondage going to come with it, like getting taxed. It's part of the deal. Well, there's not really from that yet. That came upon the earth back then. But the Lord is our shepherd. He will lead us into the path of his righteousness for his name's sake and lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, we fear no evil, for he is with us. Or in other words, with a rod and a staff comforting us, no matter what wolf's coming toward us, we are comforted by the fact we have the presence of the Lord. Don't be deceived by that which deceives many of our brethren in this nation. And that deception is that everything's just going to be fine and we'll just prosper again like we always did. That's a deception. Now, I believe there'll be times of prosperity and we can come back into that. But what we need to realize is the people of the land need to walk in the light that was given to us, walk in the light of the covenant that's been given to us, and then the blessing of the Lord can flow again, but it'll all be for his glory. And one of the things that so alarms me, why I need to share this repeatedly like this, it's not to alarm anyone, it's the fact that people are comfortable in the flesh being just so, and thus you see that reflected in the lack of pursuit in the priestly ministry. That reflects the lack of just really descent, trusting in the Lord. But if we think, well, we have a military, we have Secret Service, FBI, CIA, and whatever else you want to think about, IRS. We don't think about that one. What you teach when you're preaching, think no evil. But I'm just being humorous here. But, you know, our safety, our stability is not in any of that. And if you begin to think it is, your guard's going to be down. And what's about to come is going to hit you with a spirit of fear like a hammer. My heart, sharing with Don, there's times, I mean, just through the night, I'm just sitting in my bed weeping most of the night. I'm just being candid with you. I don't want to see any one of you, because I'm dealing with who's submitted himself. fall away when that time rolls around because the spirit of fear will run you to the back of the flock, pick you off. I don't want to see anyone fall away. And it's just like, I hesitate to use the word burden because it's not like people misapply the word burden, but it weighs on me. And I don't want to come up short of the Lord Jesus, my shepherd, having a responsibility to feed the flock, to bring revelation, to lead the flock of God in the right path. I don't want to come up short in any of that. I take it very seriously before the Lord. Because Jesus died for every one of us. Every one of our souls are very precious to him. And he's going to continue to lead us. I'm confident in that. I want to be obedient and faithful to him. My desire is that you are, that together we can see the appointed things come to pass. Things he may have revealed to you over the years that haven't happened yet. Together we can see these things come to pass. We can watch God move through us. And the end result's him being glorified. And so I'm going to just continue teaching these things. The just shall live by faith. The message is coming on that. But I'll finish with this thought, that Lord, in the end, revive your work. Revive the work of mercy in the times of judgment. Lord, no matter what I or we will go through, I'll rejoice. You'll find me rejoicing in him the whole way to the end. Rejoicing in the God of my salvation. My desire is that we do it together. You join with us. But that's what the word shows us. No matter what, don't get your eyes on what's happening, good, bad, or indifferent around you. Rejoice in the Lord. And trust him for strength. When COVID came, the thing that was happening in spirit was the impartation of strength. And we will continue to need that. The strengthening by the power of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, we set ourselves, Father, to see your plans, purposes fulfilled. Father, help us to come into a deeper revelation of simplicity of the Lord is my shepherd. And Lord, that we submit ourselves to you, leading and guiding us every step of the way. We thank you, Lord. You are leading and guiding us. So we just rejoice in the testimonies that we have in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.